The following is from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
Well, it's time to go to the movies to see another superhero. And this time, Matt, you're going to talk about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Madeline joins us every Friday to talk about a new movie.
So Marvel now moves into the animation territory with this film. Tom Holland, of course, is playing Spider-Man in the live-action Spider-Man movies. But this was an attempt, and a successful attempt, I must say, by Marvel to explore the various Spider-Verses. Now, if people are familiar with the comics, there are various different Spider-Men out there. And there's Gwen Stacy, of course. There's Noir Spider-Man, who operates in the 1930s, voiced by Nicolas Cage in this movie. So Miles Morales is the protagonist. He's a high school student, and of course, he gets bit by a spider, as they all do at the beginnings of these Spider-Man adventures. And he realizes he's got these powers, and he meets the real Spider-Man. But because of the title and what we know about this film, we know that is not the only Spider-Man. And various spider people, Spider-Men, Spider-Women, Gwen Stacy, voiced by Haley Steinfeld, eventually kind of find themselves in the same parallel universe. But they come from different parallel universes, if you're following this.
And they, sort of.
And they have to battle Kingpin, who's marvelously drawn villain and evokes laughter from the audience when he comes on screen because his head kind of sticks into his body and his body is enormous. And that's kind of a funny part of it as well. So that's really what the film is about, is these various Spider-Men and Spider-Women, Gwen Stacy, that character coming together to defeat Kingpin in this parallel universe. And I think they have created a very interesting cartoon film. It's done like a comic book. So as you watch the film, Doug, occasionally you will see words up on the screen like 5 hours later. You know, like a comic book goes to a different scene. Like here's the warehouse 5 hours later.
But no pow kapow thing.
No, there's some of that. There's a little bit of that too.
Okay.
So it really plays like a comic book, like you're reading an hour 55-minute comic book with Spider-Man. And the animation's a little different. I've heard a couple critics complain about the animation, that it's sort of flat and is not the typical animation we're used to these days. Some of the background characters, for example, in scenes appear out of focus. But again, these are sometimes how comic books are drawn. So that's what they're going for. I think as a story, it sustains its length. It's nearly 2 hours long, which is long for an animated film. It's probably the front runner right now for the animated feature Oscar. We'll have to see when the nominations come out. But again, Marvel has hit the jackpot again. They've gotten people to the theater that want to see this kind of thing. I want to caution parents, though. I saw a lot of itty-bitty kids there. And when I say itty-bitty, I mean 3 to 5. This is really an adult cartoon film. It's really – the themes are more grown up. The animation isn't, you know, Nickelodeon-type stuff. And I think it's going to be over the heads of a lot of kids that are probably under about 8 or 7. So be careful on this with taking really small kids because you can't find a babysitter.
I think that's an important caution. I've got a 4-year-old grandson who is totally taken with Spider-Man and the Hulk, and that, so this wouldn't necessarily be his movie.
That's a decision, you know, you'd have to make. I think it's right on the cusp of being over their heads. This is not Ralph Breaks the Internet, one of those kind of films that is designed for really small kids. It's designed, I think, for high school kids and adults that love the Marvel comic universe. So overall, I enjoyed this. I really enjoyed when Nick Cage shows up as a noir Spider-Man. He's in black and white.
Do they look like themselves, sort of?
Or not particularly, but the minute he talks, you know it's Nick Cage.
Sure.
I think the character of Miles Morales is a stroke of genius. He is a multicultural character, comes from a kind of a multi-ethnic background, so not white Tom Holland, white Tobey Maguire, white Andrew Garfield and the other Spider-Men adventures that we've seen. So that was very smart by Marvel to do that as well.
Well, they've got some interesting voices here, some mm-hmm. star power. You mentioned Nicolas Cage, Liev Schreiber, mm-hmm. Chris Pine, Lily Tomlin, Natalie Morales. Some interesting voices.
Yeah, Lily Tomlin is Aunt May, and there are various Aunt Mays. As we learn, Doug, what's interesting about this film, you have to really pay attention to the plot, because we see that when all the Spider-Men get together, they all have different kind of backstories. There's an Aunt May with another Spider-Man, and an Aunt May with this Spider-Man, but they live in parallel universes. And
do they ever get to know each other then? Is that what happens in this movie?
Well, yeah. As I said earlier, they get together in this universe to fight Kingpin.
Okay,
so they
gotcha.
all do sort merge and fight Kingpin as one. I'm not going to give away too much more than that, but there's a lot of discussions of parallel universes, how to get back to your own parallel universe without being killed. But there are some violent elements to this film, so it is not for small children, I don't think.
I noted that there are three directors, and one of them is this Rodney Rothman, who is also one of the writers on this iteration of the Spider-Man canon, if you will. So are we looking for more Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse animated spinoffs?
We'll have to see. I would suspect that is coming. I think these films are maybe a little easier to make than getting a bunch of actors together. You've seen how long these Avengers films take to make.
And those are CGI extravaganzas.
They are CGI heavy, but you have working actual actors. And I think that they can crank out another Spider-Man comic probably more quickly. So it's done well at the box office. I mean, when I say done well at the box office, it is not earning Avengers-type money. It's not going to do that. But clearly there is still an audience for this. There's been predictions that Marvel has gone too far. When does it stop? It hasn't happened yet, and it's not going to happen this spring when Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame hit theaters one after another in March and April. That's
and maybe good. There'll be animated versions of all of that eventually. So I was recently reminded that Hollywood is very aware of this international audience, particularly China these days. So
huge.
This has would you say this has that kind of appeal?
Oh, no question. And the Marvel films do very well in China. The overseas market never used to be a big deal when we were going to movies, Doug, in the 60s and 70s and 80s. So, they have rung the box office bell loud overseas, and this will do it again.
Okay. Well, they've got to kind of rewrite the history of some of these Avengers characters because sometimes, the countries involved in the stories from years ago might have been China or Russia.
I want to mention one of the Spider-Man characters that shows up. I'm not going to reveal this one. Is quite amusing, and it will it doesn't seem to go with the others, but it's effectively done.
Well, I went to IMDb, the internet source of all things movie, and I immediately saw that there were 7 Spider-Man movies that popped up right away, but only one Spider-Man movie has won an Oscar.
I think it was visual effects for Spider-Man 2.
You are spot on.
2002, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, it was 2004 was the movie. 2005 was the award. Thank you very much. We've been to the movies with Matt Olean.
Main Street airs at 3 and 7 Central weekdays on Prairie Public.